morning, Rabbi. I'd once again like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning shiur. I would like to dedicate today's shiur to the memory of my brother-in-law, Aaron Ben Yitzchak Baruch, who passed away 2 years ago yesterday. The art site yesterday. So I'd like to dedicate this shiur to his memory, Aaron Ben Yitzchak Baruch. I would also like to point out that the next Sunday, due to the fact that the yeshiva is going to be off, so I will not, I hope to be away with my family next week, so therefore there will not be a shiur next Sunday. The following Sunday there will be, but not a week from today, not the following Sunday, we'll be back, Be'ez Hashem. Okay, the topic of today's shiur is based on an incident which takes place in yesterday's parsha. The Torah tells us, "Vayhi bayomim ha'hem vayito Moshe," that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he grew up, "Vayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'echa," that Moshe saw a mitzri, an Egyptian, who was beating a Jew. "Vayifen kol v'chol," so the Torah tells us that he looked around, "Vayar ki ein ish," and he saw there was nobody there, which is subject to great interpretation of the commentaries, what exactly that means. So Vayachas Hamitzri Vayitmaneu B'chol. So Moshe came to the aid of the Jew, and he beat the Mitzri. The Mitzri was killed, and he buried him in the sand. And we find subsequently in the following psukim that due to this incident, Moshe Rabbeinu had to, the word got out, and Moshe had to flee to Midian, and thus he went into a long exile, because of the fact that he had come to the aid of the Jews. So the question presents itself based on this. So what is the extent to which a person has to go in order to save another Jew? What is the achrayus, what is the responsibility that a person has? Does a person have to do what Moshe did and different situations that come up? How far does one have to go to come to the aid of his fellow Jew? So we know that the basis for this mitzvah of coming to the aid of someone in need is based on a pasuk that we find in Parshas Kedoshim. It's discussed here in the Gemara. If you turn over the sheet, the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin on Daf Ayin Gimel says the following. The Gemara says it's not underlined exactly where the quote begins from, but the Gemara discusses, well, actually the top line. The Gemara says, "Gufa, minayim laroes chavero shu tovev anor ochaye gorereyu." How do we know that if one sees his friend, his fellow Jew, that he's drowning, ochaye gorereyu, or he's being attacked by some wild animal, o listin boinola, or there are robbers, there are bandits that are coming after him, shehu chayev lahatzilo, how do we know that in such a situation the Jew who sees this, the observer, has to come to the rescue of the person who is in need? Says the Gemara, Talmud Lomar lo samod al dam reyecha, that we have a pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim that says lo samod al dam reyecha, you should not stand by the blood of your fellow Jew, which the Chazal interpret to mean that if you see somebody in need, you must come to his rescue. Okay, this is a chiyuv in the Torah. This is not just a nice thing to do. I, in the secular law, you know, the concept of the Good Samaritan, the person who's going to come to the aid of his fellow man, but I don't believe that it is obligatory. If a person would see, according to the American law, if you would see someone attacked and you were in a position to help out and you didn't help him, I don't know that there would be any liability in such a case. But the Torah tells us not so. The Torah tells us that one is mechuyev. Well, samod al dam reyecha, this is one of the lo sases in the Torah, that a person who violates this is over a lav. Lo samod al dam reyecha, you cannot stand by your brother's blood. You can't stand by and watch this happen if you have the ability to help him. You're obligated, according to the law of the Torah, to go to his aid. So the Gemara says, continues and asks, v'ha mehocha nafka, mehosam nafka. Says the Gemara, but wait a minute, why do we need this pasuk? Why do we need this pasuk of Losam al Dam Reyecha? We could actually derive this from a pasuk that we find elsewhere, because the Gemara says, and the Gemara says, Avedas gufo minayin, that when we speak of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, we know there's a mitzvah in the Torah we spoke about earlier this year, that if you see your fellow Jew's item that's lost, you have an obligation to return it to him. So not only does that apply to his money, to his possessions, but the Gemara says, how do we know, let's say it would be his life, that you could possibly return to him? So says the Gemara that this would be derived, Talmud Lomer Vashev Osolo. So we find there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Hashev Osolo that you should return it to him, that there is a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So the same way there is Hashavas Aveda for a lost item, there is also Hashavas Aveda for a person's life. And therefore, if someone is in jeopardy of losing his life, then you could help him. So it's not any less than if one of his possessions was in danger of being lost. The same way, you have to help him for that. So certainly, Kol Shekein, you would have to help him regain his life. And thus, says the Gemara, we don't need a special pasuk to tell us Lo Samad Al Dam Re'echa, because we know simply that you're obligated to Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda would mandate that a person, if you can give him back his life, so that you have to do as well. So says the Gemara the following answer. The Gemara says that Ime Hasam Havamina Hani Mili Benafshei. Says the Gemara that if it would just be from that pasuk of Hashavas Aveda, so I would have said that that's only it, that you have to help him yourself. Avomitra umegar agure emalo. But what about if you can't do it yourself, but you could hire somebody? You could hire somebody else to do it. What about that situation? So for that, says the Gemara, kamash mulan. For that, we have the pasuk Lo Samad Al Dam Re'echa. Meaning that the mitzvah in the Torah, Lo Samad Al Dam Re'echa, that you should not stand by your fellow Jew's blood, you should not stand by and allow him to be attacked, if you can help him, applies not only that you could help him yourself, but let's say I am unable to help him myself, but I could get him help, I could pay someone else to help him, assuming the time permitted, I could get someone else, so if I'll pay him, and that person will come and save him or get him out of his difficulties. So the mitzvah of Lo Samad Al Dam Re'echa says that you are obligated to do so. That you're obligated to go even to that extent. If you can't do it yourself, you have to get someone else, if you have the financial ability to help him, Lo Samad Al Dam Re'echa. And it seems that the explanation for this would be, because we know that when it comes to the various mitzvahs in the Torah, so there are different standards. So when it comes to a mitzvah saseh, when it comes to a positive mitzvah, so there is a limit to how far a person has to go to fulfill a positive mitzvah, and that is, we know that a person does not have to give up more than a fifth of his assets. To that point, the person would have to. But beyond that point, the person does not. When it comes to mitzvahs lo saseh, on the other hand, when it comes to not transgressing one of the laws of the Torah, so the halacha is very strict that a person really has to give up everything not to violate an issur in the Torah. And therefore, it would come out that now that the Gemara has told us that lo samad al dam re'echa is the source of the mitzvah that you have to even hire someone else, so that would mean that in order not to be over the issur, a person would have to go to very great lengths to help his fellow Jew. But al kolponim, what comes out from this Gemara is that this is the source, this is the basis in the Torah for the mitzvah of saving someone else who is in need. And as such, the Gemara tells us that a person has to go to very great lengths. If he could help him himself, he's obligated to do so. He can't walk away. He can't say, well, I'm too busy, I have too many things going on, I have my own interests. A person is mechuyev al pidin to get involved, and even if it means hiring someone else to do the work, you have to do that as well. Now, the question is, to what degree does this go? What would be if it would put a person in a situation of personal danger? If in other words, we have a chiyuv to go help your fellow Jew, well, what happens if my attempt to help him is going to put myself in jeopardy. So here, if we turn to the next page, there is a well-known Gemara that we find in Maseches Bava Metzia, which addresses this point. And the famous case that the Gemara gives on the third line, Shnayim Shahayu Mahalchem Baderach, the Gemara speaks about there were two people walking on the road, apparently in a place where there was no water, a desert, or whatever it may be. Ubiad Echad Mehen Kitum Shomayim. And one of them happens to have a jug of water. One of them has a bottle of water, and the other one doesn't. So the Gemara says, Imshosim Shneyem, that if they're both going to drink from the water, if they will share the water, so Mesim. If they both drink, Shneyem Mesim, they will both die. Vimshose Echad Mehen, however, if one of them drinks the water, so then Magil Yishuv, then he will be able to reach he'll be able to reach civilization, he'll be able to survive and reach a point where he'll be able to get more food for himself. In other words, the way the Mefarshim explain the case is that in the current situation, there are two people walking in the desert and they're both going to die right now unless something is done, unless some action is taken. And there is one jug of water. And the choices are, obviously, if one of them, so the case is, the case the Gemara is setting up is, that if one of them will drink all of the water, he will be able to reach civilization and he will be able to live. On the other hand, if they split the water, if each one drinks, let's say, half of it, so then each one will have his life prolonged. However, eventually they will both die because it's not possible for either of them on that amount of water to have enough strength to get to the Yishuv. So what do we do in such a case? So the Gemara says, Darash ben Petura, so one of the Tanoim ben Petura said, Mutav sheyishtu shneihem biyamusu, that it is preferable for both of them to drink the water, va'al yira echad mehem b'misasal shel chavero, that it is preferable for them both to drink, they should split the water, because that by doing that they will at least prolong their lives. However, the fact is that it's going to result that they're both going to die. So be it. Al yira echad mehem b'misasal shel chavero. He should not stand by. Neither one should stand by and watch the other one die. Presumably because of this mitzvah of lo samad al dam reyecha. In other words, you have a chiyuv to save your fellow Jew. So if you're going to drink all the water yourself, he's going to die immediately. So better that you should split the water and save him temporarily. You'll save him at least for the time being, even though ultimately it is hopeless that you'll both survive. But nevertheless, you have at least the option right now to save his life. That you have to do. And that is what Ben Keturah said is the halacha. Ad shebo Rabbi Akiva, until Rabbi Akiva came on the scene, v'limeid, and he taught the following drusha, that we have a pasuk in Parshas Behar. It says, v'chei achicha imach, that your brother should live imach, that he should live with you. That's what the pasuk says, that your brother, the Torah there is speaking about helping out your fellow Jew financially. It says that he should, if you'll help him out, he'll be able to live imach with you. So Rabbi Akiva made the drasha, chayecha koldmin l'chaye chadercha, that the Torah says that your fellow Jew should live with you, which implies that you have precedence. That chayecha koldmin, that your life comes first. That your brother should live together with you. If you're not going to live, then he's not going to be living together with you. So thus, Rabbi Akiva said that in that case, the person who has the water, is allowed to drink the water himself. Not only it's a question whether he's allowed or he's mechuyev. This is an argument in the Rishonim. But the fact is that he is, that the simple interpretation is that he is able to say, it's my water and I'm going to drink the water myself, and even though it means that my friend is going to die, nevertheless, chayecha kodmin, my life comes first. And on the, yeah, okay. Yeah, oh, good question. So what about v'chai b'hem? So v'chai b'hem is the fellows here from the yeshiva know this is a big discussion, because that's one of the sugyas that we have in the beginning of the Masechet Ksuvos, which we're learning here this year. So v'chai b'hem means that you're supposed to live by the mitzvahs, but in a situation where the concept of v'chai b'hem is that life takes precedence over a mitzvah. But in a situation where somebody's going to die anyway, so then you could make the argument that v'chai b'hem doesn't apply. Because of the fact that v'chai b'hem doesn't mean you come first. V'chai b'hem means life comes first. Life comes first over a mitzvah. Therefore, if a person needs to go to the hospital on Shabbos, so you could take them, even though it's the chil Shabbos, so the person can go themselves, whatever, the chil Shabbos, because of the fact that you're supposed to live by the mitzvahs and not die by the mitzvahs, with the exception of the three cardinal sins. But that's only because you're going to save a life. But in a situation where somebody is going to die anyway, so then the v'chai b'hem does not necessarily apply. So for this, we have this additional pasuk of chayecha kodmin. Chayecha kodmin means that your life, the Torah specifically tells a person that even though you're both Jews, and like the famous statement of the rabbis in Masechet Sanhedrin, nobody knows whose blood is redder than the next one's, and for that reason, that's why murder is one of the cardinal sins that a person must give up his life for. If a non-Jew were to come and say, either kill your fellow Jew or I'll kill you, a person is obligated to give up his own life, because, as the Gemara explains, how do you know you're better than him? But here it's different, because here you're not killing him directly. When you drink the water, you're not murdering him. When you drink the water, you're just drinking the water. The result of that is going to be that the other person is not going to live. But that's different. So there, for this we have the special pasuk of chayecha kodmin. So thus, as far as probing the extent of this mitzvah of lo samin al dam reyecha, so the Gemara tells us that when it comes to a person's life, if it's a vadai sakana, if a person is going to save another Jew's life at the expense of his own life, so he has the right to say that my life comes first. Whether he chooses, you'll ask, what if he chooses to have the right to say chayecha kodmin, but let's say I want to save the other person and not do, Rabbi Kiva said, I have the right to drink the water myself, but does that mean I'm obligated to drink the water myself? That's a big discussion, whether that's true or not. This is a machlokas and rishonim, and I'd rather not get involved. But that is a discussion. But simply stated, a person is certainly not mechuyev, a person is not obligated to go and save another person's life at the expense of his own. Now, what Moshe Rabbeinu did was presumably not that. And Moshe was not putting his life in direct jeopardy. He wasn't going to die by saving the Jew, right? Presumably, he put himself into a suffix sakana, perhaps. In other words, perhaps if I come to the aid of my fellow Jews, so maybe something's going to happen to me. There was no vada, it was not a certainty. So now, this is what we have to consider. What about a situation where it is a suffix? A person is going to put himself into a sakana, he's going to put himself into a situation where it could be dangerous, he's not definitely going to die, that he would not be obligated, as we just said, but here it's going to be a suffix. So in this area, the discussion revolves around a Gemara that's found in the Yerushalmi, in Maseches Trumas, that's on the bottom of this sheet. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Rav Isi Istzid B'Sifsifa, that there was a place called Sifsifa, that Rav Isi, one of the Amorim, one of the rabbis in the Gemara, was taken captive. He was taken captive, and the Gemara doesn't go into details, but apparently, it was a very precarious situation. So Amar Rav Yonasan, so Rav Yonasan said, Yichrach Hameis B'Sadina. So Rav Yonasan said, alright, what could you do? He was taken captive, and as much as he is one of our colleagues, and he is a great man, but nevertheless, it looks like he's going to die. Yichrach Hameis B'Sadina, the corpse will be wrapped in its garment, meaning that looks like it's all over for him. We don't really have an opportunity to do anything. Apparently, those were the circumstances. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, to which Rav Shimon ben Lakish said, Ad ano kotil, ano miskitil. So he said, Rish Lakish said that. Rather than to stand by and see him die, I'll die. Meaning, I'm going to make a rescue attempt. I'm going to go and attempt to rescue him, even though it's going to put me into great jeopardy. So the Gemara says that he proceeded, and somehow they were able to rescue Ravisi. But this is the statement of Reish Lakish that Reish Lakish said that despite the danger, I am going to go ahead and save Rav Isi. So now, yeah, go ahead. With it. Reish, you're saying he had a background in, okay, it could be. It could be his experience. He knew how to handle himself. Could be. It could be. The poskim, though, still point out that even so, in other words, that okay, that's a point well taken. That Reish Lakish, had a little bit of a background in dangerous types of activities, but nevertheless, he was still putting himself into sakana. There was no doubt that, in other words, maybe he had a chance to rescue him, but he's putting himself into sakana. Is that something that a person is obligated to do? So we find here this is a subject of very great dispute amongst the poskim, and we'll see soon that this is very relevant to things that happen very much in our times. Now, I just want to point out as an aside that this entire discussion pretty much does not apply to a military operation. In other words, this is not something that pertains when there's a war, then a lot of these laws may change. But we're discussing here in terms of a personal situation. It's not a threat to the Klal Yisrael, but there is an individual person in jeopardy, and that's really the discussion that we're having, similar to what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, as far as this Yerushalmi goes, so we find, and I apologize, not on the sheet, but in Choshen Mishpat, we find in the Shulchan Aruch says that Shulchan Aruch brings the halacha and says that basically what the Gemara said in Maseches Sanhedrin, that if you see your friend drowning or being attacked, you have to come to his aid, or you have to hire other people to try to rescue him. And if you don't do this, says the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Tav Chavav and Choshen Mishpat, the Shulchan Aruch says if a person does not either save him himself or hire someone to save him, he's over alav do osamet al dam reyecha. Then you are violating the law, the mitzvah and the Torah of osamet al dam reyecha. So the Sma, one of the, I believe, the very first commentary that was ever written on the Shulchan Aruch, the Sma here on the side of the Choshen Mishpat quotes this Yerushalmi and says, and actually the Sma was preceded by Hagos Maimonios, which both quote the Yerushalmi and say that the tzarech afiul lahachnis atzmo b'sofek sakana. That if it is a question of a suffix sakana, you are obligated. In other words, inasmuch as we said that based on the Gemara of Chayecha Kodmin, a person does not have to put his life, if it's definitely going to jeopardize his life, meaning I can save him but I will die, so then the halacha is Chayecha Kodmin, that a person has the right to say that I come first, because it's only a question of Hatzolah, it's not a question of murder. It's a question of Hatzolah. I'm not going to save him, so I have the right to say that I can save myself rather than to save him. However, what about if it's a suffix? What about if it's not guaranteed? In other words, I may be in jeopardy. I may be in jeopardy, like a fireman. I may be in jeopardy. The person is definitely going to, if I don't do something, this person is definitely going to die. What about myself? So I'm entering into a dangerous situation, but it's only a suffix. So says the Sma, based on this Yerushalmi that you see from Reish Lakish, that Reish Lakish said that when Rav Issi was taken captive and the other rabbis said that they're not getting involved, there's nothing we could do because it's dangerous. So Reish Lakish said, I don't care, I'm going to save him. And apparently that was taken to be the halacha, that's the last word in the Gemara, that is the halacha, and on this basis, the Sma says that a person would be obligated to do such a thing. Would be obligated, suffix sakana, and he gives the explanation, says the Sma, v'nira hatam, v'pnei shahalov v'adai v'hu suffix. Says the Sma, the reason is because if you don't take action, the other person is definitely going to die. If you do take action, the other person will be safe, and I myself will be only in a suffix. So when it comes to saying that I have precedence over somebody else, that's only if they're both certainties. My life a certainty and his life a certainty, I come first. But if it is a question of a suffix about myself as opposed to a certainty of someone else, so the Sma brings the opinion of Hagos Maimonios that in such a situation a person is obligated to do it.
This one he will be
He will be vadaset. The person will be vadaset. So you will be suffered in danger and the person will be vadaset. That's what seems to be the case. If the other person will be suffered safe, it would seem from this that it wouldn't apply because that would be suffered in a suffered, I would assume. Yeah.
Can we bring it to if someone is destroying someone else psychologically?
Hold on. So now like this. So this is the psak of the Agos Maimonios. However, the Sma points out that this psak did not make it into the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch does not say this, and therefore it seems from the Sma that he's less than convinced that this would in fact be the halacha. Now, it happens to be that we find in the same area the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, the Radvaz who's from the great rabbis of Egypt, we mentioned his tshuvas on many occasions. So the Radvaz, writing in the 16th century, was asked the following shaila. The Radvaz was asked about a situation where a non-Jewish authority figure went into the Jewish community and took a person hostage and said, they took a person hostage and they said, we're going to kill him unless somebody from the community, or perhaps they singled out a person from the community and said, unless this person comes and allows us to cut off his arm. In other words, we cut off his arm of Reuven, or else Shimon is going to be killed. Are you obligated to do this or not? In other words, this is apparently a story that happened, that they had taken a person captive, they'll call him Shimon, and then they went over to someone else, Reuven, and said that either allow me to chop off your arm or to gouge out your eye, or if not, the other fellow is going to die. So now, a gut-wrenching situation. So the shaila is he obligated to do this or not? So you will say, how would we wind this up? So here, yeah, go ahead. With a hostage, that's a question. In other words, you're not allowed to give Yosem Echdei Domov. So Yosem Echdei Domov is, you know, that it's hard to know exactly how much that is. But, you know, it doesn't mean with a hostage you do have to give a lot of money. You have to give, you have to be willing to ransom him for tremendous amounts of money. You know, to give excessive ransoms, that's where the shaila is. But, that came up recently, the question. But the fact is that here they were saying to this person, either allow yourself to be put in jeopardy, either allow your arm to be cut off, or the other guy is finished. So what is the din? So the Radvaz, in considering this question, said that it could be, he said, let's first say that they could that they will cut off the person's arm and will not jeopardize his life. Let's even say that. It sounds like it would jeopardize his life, and that ultimately is one of the reasons why the Radvaz said you don't have to do it. But the fact is that let's just say for a moment that they could do this and it would not actually be a threat to this fellow Reuven's life. He will survive, just that he's going to lose his arm. In order that the other person's life should be saved. So the Radvaz said that the Radvaz paskin that a person is not obligated to do such a thing. He's not obligated to do such a thing. He gave several reasons. One of the reasons is that he points to the Gemara that we started off with, the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, which says that in order to save somebody else's life, you have to be willing even to give up money. If you can't do it yourself, but somebody else can, you have to be willing to hire another person, even at your own expense. But what would be to give up a limb? So the Radvaz says that it would seem that to lose a limb is a bigger kiddush than to have to pay money, because people would gladly pay money not to lose a limb. And therefore, the Radvaz says that by the fact that the Gemara never went so far to say such a thing, so the Radvaz says that it seems to him that he would not be obligated to do so. And that's one argument he makes. And then he says further that we have a pasuk in Mishlei, which is a well-known pasuk, Drachea Darchei Noam, that the ways of the Torah are ways of pleasantness, which is a concept which even applies lahalacha. It's not just an idea, but it's also brought lahalacha in several places, in Maran Yevamos and in different places, bring that this pasuk impacts directly on halacha, and therefore the Radvaz says that it just doesn't seem reasonable that the Torah should demand such a thing from a person, that a person should have such a traumatic, such a horrifying thing take place in order to save somebody else, that I should be obligated to do so. So the Radvaz says, no, it doesn't make sense to me. And therefore he said that the person who in this situation is not obligated to do so. And then he goes further and says that if it would mean, he says, and this is all speaking, assuming it wasn't a sakana for him. He says, but if it would be a sakana, if severing his arm would pose a sakana, which the Radvaz says that he thinks it would, especially in those days, would be a real threat to the person's life. So then he says that even for a suffix sakana, it is usur for a person to do such a thing. So, what's that? You wouldn't say that you'd have to come on to the other reasons. The other reasons you'd say Drachea Darchei Noam, and that derived from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. But the Radvaz says that a person would not have to put himself even into a suffix sakana. He says, however, if it would be a scenario where it's not even a suffix, let's say it could be done in such a way that it poses no threat to the person's life, so then he says, we still cannot tell the person that he's obligated to do so. He says, if the fellow is willing to do it, he says that would be an act of great piety. If he's willing to give up his arm to save the other guy, that would be an act of great piety. But he says that we cannot possibly obligate a person to do such a thing. He says it would be a midas chasidus. Fortunate is the person who, you know, if someone was a tzaddik and said that I will give up my arm in order that the other person should live, so the Radvaz says, so Ashrei Chelko, he certainly will be greatly rewarded for such a pious act, but to say that it's a chiyuv, a person does not have to. I'm sorry?
Kidney transplants.
Okay, so that's what I'm about to get to. So this psak of the Radvaz has very great relevance to us today. Because today, in the world of organ transplants, where the question comes up that, you know, you give someone, if someone is in need of a kidney, or situations similar to that, and the question, and I am compatible, I am compatible with that person if they determine through tests that my kidney would be compatible with that person. And the question is, am I obligated, al pidin, to do such a thing? So the contemporary poskim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and others, many others, point to this Radvaz and say that it would be the same thing. Meaning that today they could do it even in a way where perhaps it would not be a suffix sakana. Right? It would not be a suffix sakana. Maybe it is, I don't know. But he said that even if it's not a suffix sakana, we see from this ruling of the Radvaz that a person is not obligated to do such a thing. You could if you want. You could if you want, and we'll see in a minute, what if it's a suffix sakana? According to the Radvaz, if it was a suffix sakana, you could not do it. But according to Hagos Maimonios, you would have to do it. But the Radvaz, apparently, this psak was the psak that carried the day. And therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein and others said that if a person wants to do it, it is an act of great piety and ashrei chelko. That would be a tremendous schus for that person to get tremendous schar for doing, obligated to do that. They rely on this psak of the Radvaz that you would not be mechuyev to do it. And this is the relevance of this Radvaz. However, getting back to our discussion, what about a person putting himself into a suffix sakana? So in a suffix sakana, so the Radvaz here is clear that he says that absolutely not. He says, in fact, that a person who does it would be a chosid shota. He used the expression we find in Gemara Masechta Sota, that there, sometimes a person can think he's doing a pious act, and actually it's an act of great foolishness. So the Radvaz says that for a person to give away a limb, if it's not a sakana, if it's not even a suffix sakana, so then he's not obligated, but he could. If it is a suffix sakana, and certainly if it's a vade sakana, the Radvaz ruled that absolutely not, a person should not do such a thing. So thus we have two opposite extremes. We have the psak that was quoted in the Sma that says that a person would have to put himself into a suffix sakana, and we have the psak of the Radvaz that a person is not allowed to put himself into a suffix sakana. So it happens to be that in the tshuva that I just referred to, Rav Moshe Feinstein and other contemporary poskim, they take issue with this point that the Radvaz said. In other words, the basic Radvaz, the Radvaz psak here is famous because of the issue of organ transplants. That's where the Radvaz's ruling is well known and heavily relied upon. However, the Radvaz, in addition to saying that psak, also added that a person does not have to put himself into a suffix, even into a suffix of sakana, to save his fellow Jew. And this point is debated greatly, because the Yerushalmi that we mentioned previously, the Yerushalmi of Reish Lakish, who went to the aid of Rav Isi, so it seems from that Yerushalmi that Reish Lakish was putting himself into danger, and yet so it would seem that for a suffix, a person would be allowed. So how this story, this incident that's related in the Yerushalmi applies to us is unclear. The Yerushalmi itself is unclear, the details of the story are unclear, and there are those who say that what Reish Lakish was doing was that was not the halacha that we follow. There are those who say that we don't find in the Bavli such a psak, and the major poskim and the Rishonim, the Rif and the Rambam, don't bring this halacha, and therefore there are those who say that what the story of Reish Lakish was dismissed from the halacha. However, others say that that's not so. Others say that what Reish Lakish did was the right thing to do, but not obligatory, but rather from the standpoint of Midas Chassidus. And in other words, and this is the view of many, many poskim, that when it comes to a suffix sakana, a person has the right to do such a thing, and if a person wants to, whether he's obligated to do it, that far we wouldn't go. But if a person wants to enter into it, so even according to the poskim who hold that a vaday sakana, you're not allowed to put yourself into, but a suffix sakana, a person would be allowed if they choose to. And therefore, not be an obligation, but that would be a mitzvah chasidus. And therefore, if an organ transplant involved some sort of suffix sakana, right? And a suffix, if it was a vadai sakana, so then we hold the halacha that for a vadai sakana you're not allowed. If it's definitely going to cost one person his life, a person says, here, take my organ and I will die and you should live, that a person, the prevailing halacha is that chayecha kodmin is an obligation, and therefore a person is not allowed to do such a thing. However, when it comes to a suffix, so then already there are many poskim that said that for a suffix, a person is allowed to put himself in jeopardy if he wants. It's disputed in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He says not so. He says that a person is not allowed to do this. But many poskim, especially in the contemporary poskim, say that a person could do it if he wants. So therefore, the way it all shakes out is as follows. The basic halacha it remains that there is a mitzvah in the Torah of Lo Samen Al Dam Re'echa. Lo Samen Al Dam Re'echa means that a person must come to the aid of his fellow Jew if he is in jeopardy. It is not just a good Samaritan, it is not just a nice thing to do, but it is an obligation. If you're aware of a situation, you have to come to the person's aid, whether or not you know the person personally, even if the person is somewhere else, is not a member of your community, and therefore you have the Jews who have been incarcerated for various situations. If you have the ability to go and help that person's life being destroyed, sitting in prison, Jonathan Pollard, people like that, Rubashkin, where it's possible to go ahead and do something to help. So a person is really obligated to do it. And even if you can't do it yourself, you say, well, I have no ability. But if they're collecting funds, you have these situation of these boys who were being held in Japan, they're collecting funds to go ahead and try to get legal help to rescue them. So that a person is obligated to do it. The person mechuyev to do what they, if you're aware of the situation, you have an obligation to do something about it. This is halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. On this point, nobody argues. The whole dispute begins when doing something like what Moshe Rabbeinu did. Right? What Moshe did in this parasha, where he put himself, it would seem that he put himself into jeopardy by going ahead and coming to the aid of his fellow Jew. So there already you get into a lot of discussion. So the accepted halacha is that if it's a vadai sakana, a person does not do it. A person is certainly not obligated to do it. That's clear. Chayecha kodmin, that's the Gemara Bava Metzia. A person definitely has the right to say his life comes first. And if it's, I'm going to die in order to save him, I'm not mechuyev to do that. However, when it's a suffix, so in the case of suffix already, that's where there is much more of a debate. In the case of a suffix, is a person obligated to do it? It seems that to say that he's obligated, so many poskim are not ready to say that he's obligated to do it. However, do I have the right to do it if I choose to? Which would be perhaps the situation with Reish Lakish. So in such a case, there is a machlokas in the poskim, but many hold that a person has could say if it's a suffix sakana. If it's a suffix sakana, so I'm going to get involved, even though I possibly may be jeopardizing myself, but nevertheless, I'm going to do it. When it comes to something less than that, perhaps, like an organ transplant, which may not be a sakana, but it's a question of, I'm coming to my fellow Jew's aid, but it's going to cost me a limb of my body, which is a significant thing. So here, again, the psak that is heavily relied upon is the psak of the Radvaz, that a person is not obligated to do so, but a person has the right to do so. That's clear, because especially, it could very well be that in our times it's not even a suffix sakana. I don't know. It could, let's assume for a moment that it's not. So if that were the case, certainly other situations like that where it could be very painful for a person to undergo a certain medical procedure, but it could benefit somebody else. So in such a situation, it would seem, according to the Psak of the Radvaz, a person not obligated to do that, but Ashrei Chelko, says the Radvaz, fortunate is the person who does, and this is really what is relied upon today when it comes to the transplanting of organs. But in the end of the day, in the final analysis, what it should be stressed the most is that this prohibition of Osamen al Dam Re'echa applies even to a person who can't do it himself, but can get someone else to help out. So whatever can be done to help a Jew in need, even if it involves financial outlay, is something that the Torah pretty much mandates. A person is obligated to do that, and if not, if a person does not do that, the Shulchan Aruch says here in Siman Tav Chavav in Choshen Mishpat, over alav the losam al dam reyach.